its current state here on 90.5 WKAR. Thanks for joining us. Andy Warhol is perhaps the most recognizable name in 20th century American art. One factor in his popularity is the many album covers he designed. At the Cranbrook Art Museum in Bloomfield Hills, an extensive collection of Andy Warhol's album art is on display through March 15th of next year. Current state Scott Pohl has been to the museum to see almost 40 years of his work. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm well. I didn't know Warhol was responsible for so many album covers, but he did this a long time.
You know, it's kind of amazing how much of his career was devoted to album art. And when you think of Andy Warhol's album covers, a couple leap immediately to mind: the iconic banana that graced the cover of the Velvet Underground in Nico, and the working pants zipper in the cover of the Rolling Stones album Sticky Fingers.
Sure.
What you may not know is that as a graphic design artist, Warhol's album work dates back to the late 1940s in some completely non-rock and roll albums. Cranbrook Art Museum curator of contemporary art and design, Laura Mott, showed me around Warhol on Vinyl, the record covers, 1949 to 1987.
At Cranbrook, we've had a very long history with design. So we really see this exhibition, Warhol on Vinyl, the record covers, as looking at his graphic design career in addition to his fine art career. We've also been the benefactor of many Andy Warhol works in recent years. The Andy Warhol Foundation for Visual Arts gifted us 154 Polaroids. We also have on view 9 recent prints that were gifted to us. And this collection of record covers just came into our collection.
What will people see? The actual album covers, the artwork that went onto the album covers, what is included in the exhibition?
We have nearly 100 albums on view here, and this ranges from the extremely rare — we have one album here in the exhibition that there's only one known in the world — to the widely recognizable, like Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers. And that really shows you the reach of Andy Warhol. So there's 60 unique album covers within the exhibition, and then, like any other printmaking medium, they were distributed in different color variations, size variations, so we also have some of those on view as well.
Let's have a look.
All right, come on. So this is Andy Warhol's very first record cover, A Program of Mexican Music. This is a recording of a concert that was done in conjunction with an exhibition on Mexican art. And what's really fascinating about this cover is that the concert itself was performed by musicians who had instruments that were reconstructed based on a 16th century document that Spanish conquistadors had created about what they saw Aztec musicians to be playing. So they reconstructed the instruments and had a concert. And for the record cover, Andy Warhol is looking at the exact same 16th century document. We have here an image from the Codex Florentinus, and you see him replicating that on the cover. But what he does is he, changes it up and makes it look like a comic strip. You also see these dark black lines, which is very reminiscent of abstract expressionism, which in the late 40s, of course, was the avant-garde of art.
This reminds me of a lot of classical music album covers from that era in terms of the text on the cover telling you what the album is. The artwork is really only a third or less of what we're looking at here. Pretty standard for that era?
Yes. What you'll see in these beginning record albums is that the graphic designer or commercial illustrator was tasked with visualizing the music. And in these early record covers, you'll see that the musician was not typically included on the cover. There was more focus on the type of music. For instance, the music lover of jazz would be attracted to this album cover. The music lover of classical would be attracted to this album cover. So you see in these early record albums a lot of whimsical drawings that Warhol is trying to depict the music visually, or a concentration on the instrument of the lead musician. Nightbeat here is a There's only one known in the world. This is on loan from Par Marchal, who is a Quebec scholar and collector. And you know, this was a album that only went to radio stations. It contains a sort of film noir radio drama called Nightbeat that was quite popular. It had a weekly broadcast. So these were coming in and out of radio stations. They weren't seen as sort of precious objects, and they were never sold to the public. And so this has been known about for about 10 years, and they still haven't been able to locate another one. So to have sort of a one-of-a-kind is quite an extraordinary thing to see.
Laura Mott of the Cranbrook Art Museum, Count Basie.
This is perhaps my favorite record in the entire exhibition. This is also his very first celebrity portrait. We know Andy Warhol for his iconic images, serial images of the rich and famous and celebrities such as Elvis and Marilyn. But this is his very first celebrity portrait that he does. And this image, it's a really strikingly, kind of really beautiful drawing, right, that he's doing based on a photograph. And Andy Warhol working directly from photographs is what he did throughout his entire career. So again, we see this early graphic illustrator career being the conduit to the famous pop iconic artist that we know today. This image of Count Basie is really striking. It's also shows this moment in the mid-50s where the record cover starts to change. Elvis has become very popular, and so the record industry, you know, it really wants to connect with the youth market, and so they start selling a persona to match the music rather than just a music style. And so we see here Count Basie looking very exceptionally cool as a jazz musician, looking off to the side. But also, this is a very rare way to see Andy Warhol, because he has this gentle ink wash he's doing over the face, which gives it volume and dimension, which is very rare to find in Andy Warhol work.
Commercially, the imagery becomes as important or more important than the music.
Most definitely. And when we think about music industry today, you think about Lady Gaga or something, I mean, their persona actually is more present than the music. So we really see this history of the music industry within this exhibition as well.
These look like signs you would see in Walmart or someplace.
You got it. This is his very first pop art record cover and one of his very first edition screen prints. This is his cover for Giant Size, $1.57 each. And this marks a significant shift. We've now entered into 1963, where Warhol is known as a pop artist. He first exhibited his Campbell soup cans in 1962, and this was done for an exhibition, The Popular Image. This is a legendary exhibition that happened in Washington, D.C. It included Jasper Johns, Tom Wesselman, Klaus Oldenburg, James Rosenquist, Robert Rauschenberg. This was an exhibition that really launched those careers and named, you know, helped name that movement of pop art. And so this album cover was taken from a supermarket poster. And this is him, you know, again, appropriating directly from everyday life and shifting the context into an artwork. We also have on view here four reproductions. And this opens up a really interesting conversation about Andy Warhol's artwork, because where does the artwork lie? Is it in the image itself, because it's not an original image? Or is it the idea? Is it the appropriation? So there is a question of, you know, is a copy of a copy any less authentic? So now we've entered to the 1960s, and Warhol has become an iconic artist quite quickly, well known as a pop artist, and he himself is becoming a popular image. And so he is very much a part of the avant-garde art scene in New York City, and that's where he goes and sees a little known band called the Velvet Underground in the Lower East Side in a concert, and he decides he wants to produce the band. He adds Nico, the singer, who's to the band, and he produces the Velvet Underground and Nico in 1967.
Sunday morning brings the dawning. It's just a restless feeling by my side.
This is an iconic image of the banana. There's no mention of the band, there's no mention of the type of music. It has a banana and the name of Andy Warhol, because at this moment, Andy Warhol was better known than the band. The other thing that's incredible about this album is that Andy Warhol is really thinking about the medium of the record, which was meant to be handled. So the banana, in fact, is a sticker. And when you peel it off, very suggestively underneath is a pink banana. He had several other Discovery albums. Most notable would be the original pressings of Sticky Fingers. There's a couple of versions of Sticky Fingers in the exhibition because the very first pressing of it had a very large zipper. And the zipper was so large that every time you put other albums up against it, it would destroy the cover. So we had the first zipper, they didn't then made it even smaller to a second zipper, and then in reprints they just lost the zipper altogether and you just see the image. This is a very important moment within the history of Warhol because he saw the record cover as a way to disseminate his name as an artist. And here he's finally being collected by the masses. So only a few people can own a painting or a print, but millions of people can own Rolling Stone Sticky Fingers.
And it's a great album.
And it's a great album.
I'm with Laura Mott of the Cranbrook Art Museum, which has an extensive Andy Warhol album collection exhibition right now. And, you know, as someone who grew up in the era when albums came on vinyl and they were these square things that you could hold and open and study, to the era of CDs where the images are much smaller, to the download era where frequently we don't pay any attention to the artwork at all. You can barely see it on the screen of your telephone, for instance. It's kind of a shame that people were exposed to art extensively if they were interested in music, and that doesn't happen like that anymore.
Well, within this exhibition, we have a listening room where we have a collection, about 15 of these albums, where you can actually hold the album and play on a record player. And so really important to make that connection between the cover art, the object of the vinyl album, and the music as Warhol conceived these albums to be understood.
Vinyl's coming back, and I think that might bring the artwork back too.
I think so too. You know, there's a lot of young teenagers who've come to the exhibition who've talked about how they now collect vinyl. I myself collect vinyl. A lot of the other artists here who are part of the Cranbrook Art Academy, they collect vinyl. So there is something about this desirability for this relationship between the artwork, the image, and the music itself.
Laura Mott is curator of contemporary art and design at the Cranbrook Art Museum. Thank you so much. A fascinating exhibition of Andy Warhol's album art.
Thank you so much.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.